Well, you know, every now and again, you might get the same accusation that I get leveled against me, and that is that this guy'd be late to his own funeral. Sometimes they say that about me, all right? But I'm just going to tell you that we are celebrating the Ascension today, but we're doing it 3 days late. We're not late for Jesus' funeral, but his Ascension, where he leaves us and goes to glory. And it says in the scripture it was after 40 days, which was on Thursday. Some of you are a little older, remember Ascension Thursday. Now the diocese has moved it to Sunday. So here we are, a little late. I said a little late, but we're here, amen? And I want to just say to you, let's look at this magnificent event in the Lord's life, and I'll show you also in your life and mine. Because where Jesus goes, we, the members of his body, are sure to follow if we remain faithful. So with that in mind, I think sometimes, you know, when we come to church and we hear these readings, we've heard them for so many years that we don't really realize how astonishing they are and what they're describing. So that, you know, I expected a few of you to just sort of in the middle of the first reading and the psalm just to say, wow! Wow! And I didn't see it. Okay. But listen, let's review some of the biblical teachings about the event itself. First of all, just the basic facts. You know, we see that, if you will, from Jesus' perspective, as Jesus is taken up, by the cloud into glory, the psalm tells us what was happening up in heaven. The psalm said this, as Jesus ascends and begins to march in toward those pearly gates. It simply says here, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. That's the sound of the thunderous angels announcing the presence of Jesus Christ as he opens up the gates of heaven for us once again and begins to move in to the glory that we had lost in original sin. Those gates had swung shut. Now the gates are once again open, and Jesus, taking us with him, moves into that great and glorious place. Oh, lift up your head, all ye ancient gates. Be lifted up, ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Now that deserves an amen. Amen. Someone say it again, amen. So we see that in heaven, this great announcement is made as the gates of heaven swing open. And now, then we see here on earth the apostles. Now, you know, we've heard these texts so much that you don't stop and say, wow. But listen, he takes them up to this mountaintop, way over the Mount of Olives and up into Bethany, and he's there with them. And suddenly, he gives them this instruction, go forth to all the nations. And then suddenly, he steps on a cloud and rides to heaven. He steps on a cloud, church, and he rides to heaven. That deserved a wow. Wow! And so amazing is the scene that the disciples are just sort of doing this, you know? Finally, the angel has to come and kind of tap him on the shoulder and say, guys, he told you to get back to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. I think it's about time now. Don't rush us, angels. This is a great scene, you know? Let us stay with it for a minute. At least let the credits roll, okay? But you see, what a magnificent experience they had as they saw their Lord taken up into glory. Oh, church. What a vision. But the third thing I want you to notice, let's pull the drape back just a little bit more on the ascension, because the Bible also teaches that when Jesus ascended into glory, he did not march into heaven all by himself. He took some folks with him. Let me just read to you now from the book of Ephesians, where the Holy Spirit says this through St. Paul. When Jesus ascended on high, he led an army of captives and gave gifts to them, saying, in saying he ascended, what does this mean but that first he had descended to the lower realms of the earth? And when he ascended, he took with him a host, an army of those who had been held captive in Sheol. That was the place of the dead, where all the dead went and waited for the Messiah. And you remember on Good Friday, Jesus died. It says he went down into Sheol, into hell, into that place of the dead. And he woke them up. He said, he went to Adam and Eve, and he said, he woke them up and said, "Wake up, O sleeper. Wake up, for I, the Christ, will give you light." A beautiful line in the second century African author says that when Jesus came to Adam and Eve, he said to them, I who am your Lord, for your sake have become your son. And now I say to you, awaken, awake. And so he woke up the dead and he preached the gospel to them down there. I'm just going to say, he preached the gospel. And he woke them up and he said, now just wait, in 40 more days, we're all going up yonder. We're all going to go up yonder. And so we see this magnificent train of people who went with them. All those folks. I made a little bit of a list here. Some of the folks that would have been in that procession. I look there now, and by the way, they were singing a song. I have it on the best of authority. They were singing a song, "Oh, when the saints go marching in." I said, "When the saints go marching in. Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in." And who was singing that song? I got it on the best of authority that Adam and Eve were there, and Noah, and Abraham, and Sarah, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Rachel, and Judith, and Deborah, and David, and Samuel, and Isaiah, and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Malachi, and John the Baptist. Oh, they were all in that procession, along with countless others. A host, an army of folks that Jesus has taken into glory with him. Church, are you praying with me? Oh, church, what an incredible thing. And so, even as they're singing this song, when the saints go marching in, the angels, according to the psalm today, were singing this song. The angels of God were saying, "All you people, clap your hands, for God mounts his throne with shouts of joy. The Lord amid trumpet blast. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with cries of gladness. For the Lord, the Most High, the Awesome, the Almighty, and Great King over all the earth, reigns and now sits upon his holy throne." Church, that's what we had proclaimed today. Yes, indeed. And the angels were singing that song. The saints were singing, "When the saints go marching in." Then they just couldn't help it. They broke out into the Motown song. "Your love is lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before." Yes. I say to you, happy feast of the ascension. You see, what sometimes happens to us when we get into our pews and we're just listening to the word of God and we're very serious. You know, what happens when we don't, you know, let it just break open in our mind. All these things I'm quoting to you, except the songs, but they're right out of the scriptures, amen? Oh, the Lord, he mounts his throne, shouts of joy, the gates lift high their heads, all those ancient doors, and the King of Glory comes in, bringing with him a host, an army of men and women that he has saved by his precious blood, amen? So again, I wish you a happy feast of the ascension of our Lord, 3 days late. Now then, I want to just say two other main categories of the sermon would be this, that the next one, I've already developed it with you, but and so did Father Bura at the beginning. Namely this, that when the Lord ascends, not only does he not go there alone because of all those folks he brought with him, but if you're prepared to accept it, when he ascends, you ascend. Now, you say, "Well, he's up there and I'm down here." I got that. But I also know that when I get in an elevator and I punch the button for the 8th floor, that the top of my head gets to the 8th floor before the soles of my feet. So the Lord, this ascension that we're celebrating is still ongoing for those of us who are making our journey. We are members of the body of Christ. And where Jesus goes, we go. We will follow. Now, that's if we stay faithful. We got to stay a member of the body. And if I walk out that aisle and go out the door, I do hope that this member of my body I call my right hand goes with me. It pertains to the members of the body to go where the body goes. And so it is, if you're a member of the body of Christ and you haven't fallen off, I tell you, where Jesus is gone, you will surely follow. Stay faithful unto death, says the Lord. He who perseveres to the end will be saved. We will ascend with him, and we will be seated with him at the Father's right hand in glory as members of his body. St. Augustine says that at the end of time, there will be one Christ loving himself. Unus Christus, amen se ipsum. One Christ loving himself. All the members of the body, together with the head of the body, Jesus, all of us there at the Father's right hand. Oh, church, what a glory. So there's this fellowship of the ascension. Now, we've seen some facts about the ascension and the fellowship of the ascension. I want to just mention to you then four basic fruits of the ascension for us. And again, Father already mentioned one of them that I'll develop with you. But here they are. I'll just list them for you. And then just a little bit about each of them. First of all, we see that when the Lord ascends on high, he brings us the Holy Spirit. That's the first fruit. The second, harvest. The third fruit, help. And the fourth fruit, habitation. Now let's look at each of them. First of all, the Holy Spirit. The Lord had said this before he ascended. He said, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Consoler, the Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And so the Lord says, I'm going up. And you won't see me with your earthly eyes. You will see me, the eyes of faith. But I'm going up not to abandon you, but to send you my Holy Spirit. My Father and I will send our Holy Spirit to live within you. You will become temples of the third person of the Blessed Trinity. The Holy Spirit will live in you. The Feast of Christmas is God for us. The Feast of the Resurrection is God rising for us. But the Feast of Pentecost is God within us. And so God, the Lord Jesus, and his Father send us their Holy Spirit. Now again, this is not a time to develop the entire teaching on the Holy Spirit, but let me just tell you quickly, and I've said it to you before, the Holy Spirit, what a gift! What a gift! The Holy Spirit is the love of God, is the life of God, is the mind of God, is the heart of God, it's the whole inner life of God, the whole inner life of the Trinity. It's his wisdom, his law, his comfort, his beauty, his majesty, his glory. That's the Holy Spirit inside of you. Get in touch with these aspects of the Spirit. And he's in you like a flame. He comes like tongues of fire. Why? Because you got to be brought up to the temperature of glory. I say, you got to be brought up to the temperature of glory. You know, hell is hot, but heaven is hotter. Because it's filled with the love of God, a burning furnace of love and charity that God is. And you got to be used to the temperature. Hotter than Washington, hotter than New Orleans. But oh, the weather be just fine because you've been brought up to the temperature of glory by the Holy Spirit. See? And so Jesus actually says something that doesn't make sense to us. He says, it's to your advantage that I go up. No, no, Lord, stay with us forever. I will not leave you orphans. I will still be with you. But I tell you, it's to your advantage, because then I'll send you the Holy Spirit. More next week. Stay tuned. Now, there's also then another fruit, not only of the Holy Spirit, but the harvest. The Lord says this, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all people unto me. And that's why the Lord said just before he left, he said, go therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you all days to the end of the earth. So he is up now in heaven, and through his Holy Spirit, he's living with us, and he's sending us out so that he can bring in the harvest. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all people unto me. Church, that's what's supposed to be going on now. It's called the age of the church. The book of Revelation says that God sent out his angels to the four winds, to the four corners of the earth, to gather in all the faithful. And that's what's happening now. The Lord is gathering his faithful. He is bringing in the harvest. That's us, and that's a lot of folks we got to get into this church. Amen? So the Lord is saying, I am directing now a harvest, and I will bring forth fruits from this earth. So that's the second great fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you would, you say, well, where are these fruits? Look at yourself, first of all. You are part of the harvest. Amen? Look to the person next to you and look behind you. Look, behold, the harvest. Amen? Now, I also see a few empty pews in here. So there's always plenty good room in my Father's kingdom. Amen? And Jesus is still up there directing the harvest. Are you praying with me, church? So we see the first fruit is Holy Spirit. The second fruit of the ascension is the, if you will, the harvest. Now, the third fruit of the Holy Spirit is help. Jesus says this. I should say this is what the book of Hebrews says. It says, consequently, Jesus, because he has ascended, is now for all time able to save those who draw near to God through him, because he is now at the Father's hand, living always to make intercession for them. Somebody pray for me. I say he had me on his mind. He takes the time and prays for me. And he's in a high place, church. He's at his Father's right hand, and he's saying, Abba, Father, take care of my people. Oh, listen to their prayers. And how can the Father resist anything the Son says to him? Sure, Son, whatever. You died for them. Of course I love them. Of course we'll send the graces. So he's at the Father's right hand, seated there, and it says in the Scripture, he is interceding for us. That's just a jazzy word that means he's praying for us. He's praying. And Jesus says this also later on in John 14. He says, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and even greater works than these. Why? Because I go to the Father. In other words, the good works you and I are able to do come from Jesus, because he's praying for us at the Father's right hand, and he brings forth an abundant fruit. And even the small and distracted prayers that we utter, the Lord has a capacity to bring great works out of these prayers and out of these intercessions that we make. So, church, just know this. You've got a helper in heaven, and he just happens to be God, all right? He is pleading at his Father's right hand for all of us. Somebody, I said, somebody is praying for you and is praying for me. And his name is Jesus. Now, the fourth fruit, we have the Holy Ghost power. We have the Holy Spirit. We have harvest. We have help. And now, the final one to mention, we have habitation. Listen, Jesus says this in John 14. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, and one of them I go to prepare for you, such that when it is completed, I shall come and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Church, he's got his blueprints out, and he's got his hard hat on, and he's laying the foundation, and he's building the walls, and he's building your dwelling place in heaven. He is building a place for every one of us. That deserved a hallelujah. I say that deserved a little more of a hallelujah than that. Right. And I got news for you. If you suffered a little, that suffering produces glory for you. And I just want you to know that the humbler your dwelling in this world, the greater your dwelling in the one to come. So don't worry so much about whether you got the big house here, but worry about the big house there. And the Lord has it waiting for you. And just always remember that whatever trials, whatever difficulties in this world, part of it is because we are not at home. We are homesick. Our true home is in heaven. And wait till you see the accommodations that God has for you there. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It has never dawned on us what God has waiting for those who love and trust him. Church, you can't even imagine it. And even if you think you did imagine it, you're not even close. Oh, church, he's building a dwelling place. So the Lord today ascends, shouts of joy, a blare of trumpets, the gates open. He opens in and walks into heaven, bringing with him a great multitude. And if you're prepared to accept it, you're in that multitude. He goes up there. Oh, church. And even now, while we're still on our way up, he sends us the Holy Spirit. He sends us help. He sends us harvest. And he is preparing a habitation for us. I wish you today a very glorious and happy Feast of the Ascension 3 days late. Rejoice today and ponder these gifts. You see, what happens to us is that we get so focused on the heartaches and struggles of this world that we're passing through. It's going to have heartache and trouble. Jesus said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation. Yet have confidence, because I have overcome the world." We just have to do a better job in our life of setting our sights on the heavenly glory that waits. We get so obsessed and concerned about the passing things of this world, and we end up looking all day long at our shoelaces when we should be looking up and saying, "Wow! Wow!" I had to wake you up, I'm sorry. Wow! Oh, church. See, if we're not careful, we can get negative very quickly. Are you praying with me? So I'm not just jumping up and down and having a great time for its own sake. I need myself, when I feel burdened and struggling, to always look up and say, whatever I'm going through now, trouble don't last always. I'm going to a place where glories never end. And somehow even the troubles here are only a test or a trial that prepare me for the weight of glory that is waiting. So look up today, enjoy it, beautiful weather out there. Look up and say, "Lord, I can't wait. I can't wait to be with you one day. And whatever I'm going through, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come with the morning light." I thank you, Lord. Thank you. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within and sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I, because, church, love lifted me. Are you ascending? Are you ascending? I said, love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. We're ascending with Jesus. Amen. God be the glory, right?